it's like to be a Christian. And we've talked quite a bit about this in our Ephesians class as well, but I wanted to kind of take a look at different scriptures and to kind of show what it is to actually be a Christian out in the world. And as we're out in the world, wherever it may be that we're at, in our workplaces, school, wherever it is, we ought to be seeming different than the rest of the world. And we know this. When we're baptized, we know this. We understand that it is now a new life that we're going to be living. But what does that look like? And of course, we know that we're supposed to be good at heart. We're supposed to try to obey God, but to understand how to obey God. And of course, we talked a little while back about patience. I know one of them that we spoke about is reading the scriptures, searching the scriptures, understanding the scriptures, coming to an understanding for yourself. And that's a huge part. Without understanding the scriptures, we don't understand how to be a Christian. Without understanding the scriptures and reading through the scriptures, we don't know what God has instructed for us to do. We don't know how to be this Christian that we ought to be. And the last one, I believe we talked a lot about love and what that love is. Of course, first being love for God, and then also love for those around us, our neighbor. We talked about what this love looked like, and we really dove into how important that love is in a Christian's life and how that love ought to be expressed daily. And even how that love not only extends out to those who we care about and those who are close to us and ourselves and to God, but also to love our enemies. We talked quite a bit about that in the last lesson that we went through with the works of a Christian. But today I want to talk about examining ourselves and what it truly means to look into our own lives, to understand what it is that we have in our own lives, whether it be struggles or maybe it's something strong, maybe it's a strength that we have, and to truly examine ourselves and what that might lead into. And we'll kind of get into kind of applying that and how we can examine ourselves and how that can be a good thing for not just ourselves as a Christian, but for those around us and for the church. And so I want to kind of look into that and to understand examining ourselves and what the importance of that is in a Christian's life. And when we look over, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians, I almost said 1 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll be there for a majority of the scriptures. We will be jumping around quite a bit for those who have been in my sermons. I don't like to stay in one place too often. But 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we see Paul coming to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them here in 2 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 5, he says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test." So here he's telling the church at Corinth, he's telling the Corinthians to examine themselves, whether they are in the faith or not. Because if they're not in the faith, they need to succeed. They need to pass this test. They need to make sure that they're not failing the test. They need to see whether they are in the Lord or not. They need to be focused on their own lives. They need to search within to see if they are being obedient. And if they're not, to recognize that. To see that they have fault in their life and that they need to change something in their life. That they need to be careful that they don't fail this test of life, this test that God has put us to. To understand your own life. To understand your struggles. To also understand your strength. Because he tells them, do you not realize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you not realize that? And that's something that we do need to realize. As Christians, we need to realize that Jesus is within us. That's to express that to others and to express that to the world, to be this light of the world. We need to realize that Jesus is in us. But also we need to recognize and to see if we have failed the test or if we have met the test. We need to understand that. We need to know that about ourselves. And if we back up just a couple of verses prior to that, sorry, I hit the wrong button. But if we back up a couple of verses prior to that, in verse 3, we see that he tells them, they're coming to him, they're seeking proof of him from him. And he tells them, "Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you." So he's telling them that Christ is within them. But here, of course, we know whenever we jump down to verse 5 and 6, we know that he's telling them to examine themselves. We know at this point that Paul had to have examined himself to know that there may be some sort of test that they might be testing his authority, that they may question how to exactly know that Christ is speaking in him. So he had to have examined himself and understanding that as well. So Paul coming to them, not being a hypocrite, and telling them to examine themselves without him first examining himself. He's examined himself. He knows that he is worthy, but then goes on to tell not to question his authority, not to question whether Christ is speaking in him, but to examine themselves, to focus on their heart, to focus on their works as a Christian, to focus on their life and the things that they've done. So I think this is a command that we ought to take to heart as well. Not just something written to only the Corinthians, but something that we can look at and we can see this. That if they were to examine themselves, if they were to look into their life and to see their struggles and to see their strengths, shouldn't we be doing the same? Shouldn't we also be following the same instruction that Paul gave to the Corinthians back in this day? And of course, I think that's absolutely the case, to examine our lives, to examine our spirituality, to examine our strengths and our weaknesses. And in Romans chapter 8, here in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he raised Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give you to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." So here in Romans chapter 8, again, Paul writing to the Romans, he tells them not to live focused on the flesh, not to live focused on things of this world, not to live focused on things that can lead us astray, but rather to be focused on the Spirit, to be living in the Spirit, letting the Spirit dwell within us. And he tells us to examine ourselves. In 2 Corinthians, he says to examine ourselves, and it's really for these reasons, to examine that we aren't living in the flesh. That when we are living our lives, that we're not focused on worldly things, that we're not being led astray by worldly things, but that we're being led by the Spirit, to set our minds on things of the Spirit. He goes on to tell us that being set on the flesh, having our minds set on the flesh, when we don't examine ourselves and see that we're living a worldly life, this is death. This is going to bring us to death. But if we are living in the Spirit, if we have the Spirit dwelling within us, it's going to give us life and peace, he says in verse 6. It's going to give us life and peace. Now, he's not necessarily saying this is going to give physical death or physical life, but rather living with a worldly mindset, living focused on the world, is going to give us spiritual death. It is going to be the death of our spirit. Our spirituality is now dead. We are dead to Christ. He goes on in verse 7 to tell us that those who have their mind set on the flesh, if you have your mind set on things of this world, you're hostile to God. And it doesn't submit to God. Those who have their mind set on the flesh, they don't submit to God. They don't obey him. They're not focused on his will. They're not focused on what he wants from you as a Christian. But instead, they're focused on things of the world and what the world wants them to be a part of. They're not focused on God. They're not submitting to God. You cannot submit your life to God when you are focused on things of this world, when you have your mind set on the flesh. He tells them that you can't please God when your mind is set on things of this world. When you are not setting your mind and letting the Spirit dwell within you, you can't even please God. You are unpleasing to God. And he goes on to explain that this is not just physical death or physical life, but to go on to explain that those who are living in the Spirit, because of this righteousness, yes, your body may be dead, and that death, that physical death, comes because of sin, but because of your righteousness, your spirituality, your spirit, you have been given life through the Spirit, by living in the Spirit, by living this good life, by focusing on what God would have you to do, instead of focusing on what the world would have you to do. So not focusing on things of the world, but to focus on things that are higher. Focusing on godly things. Focusing on what God would have us to do in walking our lives. So how do we see these things? How do we see if we are living according to the world or according to the flesh, or to the Spirit, living with the Spirit dwelling within us? We have to step back and we have to examine our own lives. And it's easy to point the finger and to see things that are going on in other people's lives, maybe to try to examine their lives and to maybe try to dive in and focus on them. But it's very hypocritical. We know that where Jesus tells his disciples not to be focused on your brother if he has a speck in his eye when you've got a plank in your own. This idea of hypocrisy, not to be looking at others, but to have a self-examination. That's truly what it takes for the Christian to focus on our own lives. Of course, when we back up and think of reading through the Scriptures, when we think of studying and examining the Scriptures, understanding what God wants from us as Christians, we then can look and see what He wants, and we can see if we are focused on things of the flesh, or if we are truly focused on the things that the Scriptures are telling us to be focused on, and to understand that by living in the Spirit, we are granted life. There is a reward by living in the Spirit. There is a reward by living your life the way that God intended for you to live, by focusing on things that are higher, by focusing on godly things instead of focusing on worldly things. Of course, we can look at several different passages to kind of show us that we need to have a self-examination, or to kind of show what self-examination we need to have, and maybe diving more deep, a little more into depth on what these things of the world would be, or maybe focusing on what these things of the Spirit would be to kind of direct us one way or another. But I want to kind of take a little bit of an example that we can see. We can see a couple of different examples in the Bible, and we can see where others may have had this self-examination and understanding what it is that is either their strength or their weakness in their own life. I think, of course, David, I think, comes to my mind when thinking of this self-examination, understanding weaknesses. In Psalm 26, I want to go ahead and just read the whole psalm. I was going to pick just a few verses to read. But Psalm 26 is only 12 verses long. David's speaking here, if I remember correctly, and he says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with the hypocrites. I hate the assembly of the evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud, and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil devices, and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me, and be gracious to me. My foot stands on the level ground, in the great assembly. I will bless the Lord." Looking at this psalm, and of course, I always love going through and having a study of psalms and studying the psalms and how powerful they are. Really, throughout every psalm that you read, you see this kind of poetic writing. This poetic writing is very beautiful. And the way that David is writing here, he's writing in a way that's telling the Lord that he has examined himself. He prays to the Lord, not that he's just examined himself, but he prays to the Lord and tells him to test him. "Lord, I have examined myself. I know that I hate the assembly of the evildoers, and I stay away from that. I know that I love to do the good works that you have called for me to do. I know that I have been righteous. So please, test me, O Lord. And he goes on to tell him and to ask of him to save him, to give him grace. He knows he's a sinner. He knows he's fallen short in his life, but he's asking for God's grace, that he wouldn't give him up with the sinners, that he wouldn't deliver him from where the sinners are going to go to sweep away his soul with the sinners. But instead, he says, please, take me up. Redeem me and be gracious to me, he says in verse 11. And in verse 12, my foot stands on level ground in the great assembly. I will bless the Lord. For David to make this statement, for David to stand up and say that I know that I have lived my life in a way that I could ask this of you, Lord. It shows a self-examination within himself. And to even sit there and to pray to the Lord to test him. To pray to the Lord, to tell the Lord that he is able to test his heart and his mind. Because he knows within that he has done good in the sight of the Lord. That he has tried his hardest to please the Lord. He's examined himself. He knows his strengths. Of course, he knows his weaknesses, and he knows that he's fallen short to those weaknesses, but he knows his strengths. And one of those strengths that he's mentioning here is that he has a steadfast love for that Lord. He has this love that he is willing to proclaim God. He will keep his commandments, and that he will bless the Lord. And in Lamentations, the writer of Lamentations, chapter 3, starting in verse 40, says, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. Here in Lamentations, it really just now finished talking about the greatness of God prior to this passage, talking about the greatness of God and how he has been with them, he has delivered them, he has not forsaken them, he has remembered them. And if I remember correctly, I believe Jeremiah is the assumed writer of Lamentations, talking about how the Lord has been with his people. The Lord has never been unfaithful to his people. He has stayed faithful to his people. He has been there, and he has been great to them. He has even delivered them from many trials, from captivity. There's been so much that the Lord has done for his people, and he is so great. And because of the Lord's greatness, because of who he is, he's telling the people of Israel to examine their ways, to take a look into their own life and to focus on what it is that they've been doing. And he tells them that we've transgressed and rebelled. We have been evil. We have things that we need to work on. We have things that we have gone against the Lord. We have been focused on things of the flesh, things of this world, instead of being focused on godly things, being focused on letting the Spirit dwell within us. So here in Lamentations, absolutely is a call to examine ourselves. Back in their day, to examine themselves and examine the evil things that they have done and to turn away from them. And so, of course, I want to kind of leave that with you, this idea of examining ourselves. We can go through many scriptures and to kind of look at what it is that we could examine. We could look at maybe the strengths that we might have, the gifts that have been blessed to certain people. And I think that's absolutely something that we ought to look at, that we see the strengths within ourselves. When we sit back and we examine ourselves, we examine the things that we need to work on. I think that's first and foremost the most important, to focus on things that we may have fallen short in our lives, things that we have struggled with in our own lives. We need to focus on that first. I think that's most important, to get ourselves back on the right track. We talked a little bit this morning in the Bible class, going through Ephesians. We talked about how time is constantly moving on. Whether we want it to move on or not, it is moving on, and it's going on without us. We need to make sure that we are careful with our time, because it's never ending, that it's never stopping for a certain moment. We need to be focused on this moment. We need to be focused on our lives now and make the corrections where we need to make. And then to examine ourselves and to examine our strengths. And what could that do for us? Well, of course, we can examine our strengths and the things that we know we do well. And not just thinking about ourselves, but to be thinking of the church. Thinking about the work that we ought to be doing as Christians. Thinking about what we can do to further the work of the church. Growing. Helping others grow. Maybe edifying one another. And whatever strengths that we might have. We may have strengths and gifts of maybe our gift is leading songs. I know there's a few in this congregation that's their main goal is to lead songs. That's the way that they know. I think Jared comes to my mind when thinking of that. I think Jared's the one that he feels that that's been his blessing, that he's been able to lead songs. He enjoys singing. He enjoys the getting up here and leading everyone in singing. That's some people's gift that's been given to them, a strength that's been given to them. Maybe it is standing up and giving sermons or leading Bible classes, or maybe not necessarily in large groups, but maybe leading individual Bible classes. And whatever way it may be, of course, there's many ways that we can see our strengths. But that's where we have to examine ourselves. Examine what it is that our strengths might be. Examine what our strengths might be to spread that onto others. Spread that onto other Christians around us. Spread that onto our brethren. But also to spread that love, that strength that we have, the spirit that dwells within us, to spread that on to others around us, out in the world. Not just to be focused on spreading only to the church, but also to be spreading to those who are lost, those who haven't found God and haven't found their purpose in this life. Backing up to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and jumping down to verse 11, this is where Paul is closing up the book, and he's telling them, finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Aim for this unity and comforting one another. Aiming to encourage one another. And that's what we're here for. That's why we meet as a congregation, is to come together so we can be this encouragement, so we can be this upliftment for one another, so that we can have this unity with one another, so that we can look out for one another. So maybe you look into your own life and you feel that maybe you're far from God by examining your life. You feel that in whatever way, maybe you've had a weakness that you've had a hard time overcoming. And that's something that you've examined and you've seen in your life. Now, of course, you know the next step is to try to attack that, to try to get rid of that in your life and to try to further your work for God and to become a stronger Christian, grow closer to God. Looking at 2 Corinthians 13:11 here, this aim for unity, this aim to encourage and to uplift one another, to live in peace, ultimately to have this love for one another. That's why we're here. Of course, it's not my job to examine your life or your job to examine another's life, but to examine your own. Examine your own spirituality. And it's very important. It's important to take a look into what we have to fix. But of course, it doesn't mean that you have to fight it alone. It doesn't mean that you examine your own life and you simply keep that to yourself and try to overcome any weaknesses you might have on your own. But to look at 2 Corinthians 13:11 here, to understand that you have others who are your brother. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's, again, why we meet here. That's why we congregate. To show that unity. To show that love. To show that peace within one another. To encourage one another. So if you need help in any way to examine your life, or maybe you have examined your life and you've found some sort of weakness that you're trying to overcome, that's why we meet here. We're about to stand and sing a song of encouragement, Is Thy Heart Right With God? And absolutely fitting. I thank Jake for his song choice this morning. I know he's been he does a really good job of trying to tie it all into the lesson. But to examine ourselves and to see if our heart is right with God. Examine your heart. Examine your well-being. Examine your spirituality and focus on the weaknesses that you might have. And also focus on the strengths. focus on how you can use those strengths. And so my task that I'm setting on you is to examine yourselves. Maybe you have examined yourselves and you found those weaknesses, of, again, backing up to 2 Corinthians 13:11, to understand that you have brethren that care for you, that want to encourage you. So we give this moment a song of encouragement for those who may have examined their lives and found that weakness. We give this time to those who want to come forward and to bring those struggles that they may have to the rest of the brethren, so we can all fight through that together, so we can encourage one another. So if you've maybe found some sort of examination in your life that you need to, some sort of weakness that you've examined in your life, that you need help strengthening, you need help with some sort of strengthening, you need help with a certain task in your life that's been dragging you down, we encourage you not to put that off any longer, but to make sure that you let us know so we can encourage you, so we can find that peace and unity with one another, so that not only peace and unity with one another, but also with God, and bringing that peace and unity between you and God as well. So if that applies to you in any way, we encourage you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.